Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast with Scott McKenzie. Scott is a passionate industry professional dedicated to transferring cutting-edge, industry-focused innovations and trends while highlighting the men and women who keep the world moving. So put on your hard hat, grab your work boots, and let's go.
All right, greetings, and welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast, The Platform. This particular platform is dedicated to you, the industrial and manufacturing pros, the companies that get it done. You're bold, you're brave, you dare greatly, you innovate, and you're changing the world and you're changing lives like you're changing my life. That's why we celebrate you each and every day on this particular platform. Thank you very much for what you do. Now we have a great interview. It's a bit of a long one, but it's all just chock full of great information. Sean Doyle is the gentleman's name. That's S-E-A-N-D-O-Y-A-L. He is the president of Fitzmartin. F-I-T-Z-M-A-R-T-I-N. You know what we're going to be talking about? Marketing, branding, sales, strategies for bringing in revenue. Let's get going. Yeah, it's a great conversation. You know I'm passionate about that. All right. Once again, I'm going to harp on this again and again and again. We need to be about collaboration. We need to be about innovation. We need to be about education. Now, this is an event that I want to make sure that you put on your calendar. One of the areas within this whole next normal, this global pandemic, that really got hammered, right, and demonstrated a lot of challenges, and that is your supply chain. If you're in industry, if you're in manufacturing, if you are anywhere in that, you recognize that that is a truth. We have a conference, a webinar, virtual, right there, and it is called Adapting to Coronavirus Supply Chain Disruption. Big time topic, big time need. It is brought to you by Colorado University and those wonderful people at Cap. Again, put this down. It is September 16th, noon Mountain Time. And if you're, you know, you can do the math. If you're East Coast, that's 2 hours ahead. If you're Pacific, that's 1 hour behind. You know, you got the math. You can do it. September 16th at noon Mountain Time. I will have the link and everything there. They're going to be featuring a couple of speakers. A gentleman by the name of Ian Richardson. He's with a company called ISCP Limited. Now, he's got a great bio out there, but I'm going to provide you the link so you can read it, so I don't have to tell it to you. And a young lady by the name of Susan Fitzy, and I'm going to have to probably butcher that, but her last name is P-F-U-E-T-Z-E. And she's with a small company called Otter Products, or Otterbox and all that good stuff. Anyway, I highly recommend that you definitely join in. All right, on to the interview. Sean Doyle's in the Industrial Talk hot seat. Fitzmartin is the company. Now, we're going to be talking a little bit about how to make revenue gains. Revenue gains, especially now, because you need to be about not just retaining talent, not just managing risk. You got to be saving money, making money. You got to be creating a business of resiliency, no doubt about it. Sean brings the truth. He's wonderful, and enjoy the conversation. Sean, welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast. Absolute honor that you have joined the number one industrial-related podcast in the universe. That's my story. I'm going to stick to it. I don't have any data to back it up because I have nothing beyond this. But how are you doing, my friend?
You know, I'm a marketer. Marketers don't know anything about data. So, I'm good. Scott, I'm good. Thank you for having me. I've been looking forward to this. You've got a great podcast.
I'm telling you right now, man, I'm all, and everybody knows it, all the listeners and everybody that I come in contact, I'm all about sales, marketing, branding, getting that message out, bringing in revenue, doing everything I possibly can to help the listeners and the companies, the industrial and manufacturing companies succeed. And especially now, you know. So before we get into all of that, because that's what I want to get into, give us a little background on who Sean is, a little 411. Your stat card's pretty cool out there on LinkedIn.
Well, come on. We'll meet over there. I'm an advertising marketing guy, right? So everybody I talk to starts with, oh yeah, you do Super Bowl ads. I'm like, well, no, actually I do this really weird thing. I love businesses that sell to other businesses. I love the complex sales cycles. I love sales as much as I love anything else about marketing. In fact, if you ask me, I'm going to say we're a sales and marketing company because that's what I think people want. Nobody buys marketing. I've had a 30-year career where nobody bought what I do. Everybody buys revenue. Nobody wants to buy marketing, right?
That's huge, man. I'm telling you, revenue is everything. Absolutely. Absolutely. So,
yeah. So our company is, you know, we're sales first. We're scientifically inspired. We our opinions are going to come from behavioral science, not I think, or I like, or I want, or, you know, whatever else that people say that typically marketers are kind of loosey-goosey. And we start with advisory services and strategic and understanding business goals. And then every agency says that. We actually do it.
See, this is a challenge when I hear you, Sean. You're absolutely right. There's a lot of people that claim they're marketers, claim their increased sales, claim all of the stuff. And it's challenging for a lot of industrial and manufacturing companies to have that desire. I want to bring in more revenue, definitely. But I don't want to just spend money and get nothing out of it. Been down that road. I understand exactly what you're saying.
Well, Scott, you're a CEO. I mean, it's easy to see how executive teams function, and it's easy to see how a typical CEO wants to lead. And it's you go with finance, you look at and respect accounting, you might talk to law, intellectual property, you're looking at capital expenditures, how do I produce something, how do I create services, you know, all this stuff that people do well. And of course, every CEO almost always has an SVP of sales who sits just to his right or her right. And that person, that SVP of sales, is the second de facto leader of that company because they understand revenue. And then often, and this is what I'm so passionate about changing, there's some marketer, if they're lucky, they're at the table, but they usually haven't even earned a seat there. And they're just doing executional stuff. They're designing stuff. They're getting sales collateral for us old guys. That's what we call it, right?
Yeah. See, I think that that's interesting because I want to journey down this road. Sure. When I was running a couple of companies, granted, I'm going to figure out how to manage my risk and retain talent and save money where I can save money as much as I possibly can. But my focus, the majority of my time, is how do I bring in more revenue? How to bring in more money? And how do I, you know, expand my market influence? That was it. It would happen all the time. And I've been very fortunate to interview a lot of industrial and manufacturing leaders within, you know, around the world. And there are some general principles that they constantly focus in on. One, especially today, this next normal, this two-fingered death punch, whatever this COVID world we live in, one, is how do I survive? How do I rebuild? And then how do I prosper? And it's, those are great, absolutely, because that talks about business resiliency. And then they also bring in, to do that, many recognize that I need to collaborate. I need to find people with answers because we haven't been through this. I need to innovate, not just from technology, but the human innovation. And then thirdly, how do I educate with a sense of urgency and speed? So those are the components that I wish we would be able to expand upon a little bit in this conversation. Are you game?
Let's go. You know, I think it's a brilliant subject. I bet 80% of your listeners, and you've got smart listeners, I bet 80% of them have this lever sitting at their executive hand and they're not pulling it. And that lever is marketing. If we can force reevaluation of how marketing can impact a business and how to get there, at least to begin that dialogue, we've had a really successful episode here. And that's my vision for the day. Let's talk.
Yeah. So with that said, let's say I'm an executive, got my executive hat on. Why is marketing? I'm dealing with a fire here, fire here, fire here, five alarm here, five alarm all around us. Why is marketing, being able to really tactically look at marketing, valuable, especially today?
Oh, there's a couple different points of view. So let's start with SG&A reduction. And that's not usually. Oh,
Tell
you don't want to go
what's
there.
What's SG&A?
Yet. Oh, okay. So we've got sales, general, administrative,
good.
Those costs. We've got to look at how to reduce those costs. That's a conversation even the CFO wants to have, right? And the first person they call is typically not the marketing guy. Well, so if you are an executive and you're looking at that, how do we get more money down to the bottom line? Let's go to marketing. And what I mean by that isn't just go cut and slash marketing, but talk to marketing about how they can improve the efficiency and lower the cost of goods sold. And what are they going to do? So if you come to me, I'm going to say, you've got to have a process. You've got to understand how the consumer decision journey occurs. And you've got to understand how to efficiently get a prospective buyer through that journey. And there's ways marketing can do that. If you don't have a solid marketing organization with a philosophy and an understanding of how buyers work, then what happens is sales takes over the whole funnel. And that's the most expensive person right. that you could possibly have to do that. Marketing should be helping buyers, prospective buyers in your specific position, and even buyers who are more profitable, if you want to get a little more sophisticated than an average buyer. But in fact, we're working for a company, project is going to be fourth quarter, and they've taken and made buckets. Just they've tiered their customers. And what my job is to take their third and fourth tiers and find ways to make them efficient. They're smaller customers. They're onesie, twosie kind of buyers. Well, we're going to take, marketing is going to take for that company away and build a customer experience that is very, very efficient. What we're going to do is strip out some of the costs, such as we don't need inside sales doing as much work. Let the customer do it themselves. We certainly don't want outside sales calling right. these small companies, right? We want them on the national accounts.
Right.
And from a buying decision journey, you don't want those outside sales folks early stage. Marketing should be creating awareness and helping people contemplate and helping people do their early stage planning and generating those leads, right? That's marketing's job. Sales should just be taking the late stage. It should be closing deals. That's efficient.
Closing deals, baby.
And yeah.
Confirming their decision to buy, right? That's easy.
Absolutely.
Easier, not saying. I'm a big fan
I'd
of
say it's like, simple. I'd say it's simple. It's yeah. not easy. It's no. simple.
Yeah, but
it's
right, not right. easy. But if your marketing is on point, and it is allowing your prospective buyer to get the information effectively and efficiently, then of course, the confirmation with sales is just sort of, it is simplified. It is simplified so, dramatically. Now, let me ask you this. The question I have is like, you had me at hello type stuff. You're talking my talk, but I'm an executive. I have not, over my career, been very interested in anything that is remotely related to marketing because I don't see results. I don't see it. All I see is sales results, money coming in. I'm not drawing a connection between why are the sales so good and marketing. Yeah. And then because we have, over a period of time, have such to a certain extent, there's a negative connotation that's associated with marketers that we, you know, but the sales has the same challenge, but that we're yeah. sort of manipulating and all of that good stuff. How do you get an executive to say, no, that is really key to my success?
You know, I hate to move the conversation to technology, but I'm hearing a couple things. So Scott, your beard has a little gray in it. So you might be, you know, I don't know. You're over 30, I'd say.
Yes, I am. 32.
We're sticking with that too. So if you're of a certain age like you, Scott, then you've got a point of view that is a last touch point of view. You're giving all the attribution to the person who last touched that deal. And 10 years ago, I might also be a man of a certain age. 10 years ago, I didn't have a good way to give you an attribution that was earlier in the sales cycle. I can now follow. In fact, we're doing some really amazing one-to-one marketing that is full funnel, helping sales pursue their highest value client. You never are going to see the ads in trade magazines. You're never going to see a Super Bowl ad or a blimp. You're going to see us, you're going to see our clients only if they're trying to sell to you. And in fact, we're able to lower the cost of sales by delivering ads, messages, information to specific decision makers with specific pain points in mind all the way from the beginning. So there's none of this general, hey, look, do you know we exist? Because that doesn't add value. If the CFO at, let's say, a big oil and gas company.
Acme.
Yeah, there you go, Acme Oil. So Acme Oil, the CFO at Acme Oil has a specific set of concerns. It's very different from a production engineer. It's very different from HR or the dispatch, the guy that's running the pumpers that are going out in the field. And they all have different points of view. Well, with technology, we can now deliver messages, specific messages to specific accounts and specific titles that are incredibly efficient at speaking to the pain that those individuals have. That supports sales all the way through. And I would suggest that technology then gives you the ability to give attribution to what marketing is doing. And if you're younger, you're going to come into sales and marketing and go, tech should be the platform, and then attribution is going to be easier, and it's easier to give more funds, more resources to marketing. But if you don't have a good tech stack, if you've been fighting, because it's a complicated world, there's some 9,000, 10,000 marketing technologies now.
I'm telling you, that is a big, that's a whole nother subject, because you just don't know. And how does this email campaign platform better than this email fan? And they're all sort of the same, right?
They
have this little automation, and I tag and do all of that stuff. Here is a challenge that I need to hear your solution to. What you're saying, spot on, great, wonderful. Love it. Love that. There's a disconnect between marketing and sales. So if I am sitting there and I've modified my message in my marketing campaign that talks about their pain, will it be reinforced in sales? So that to me is that there's a disconnect between, we do it this way, this is our sales process, you marketing right. people do it this way, and here's your message, and the two shall never meet.
All right, Scott, I know you're of a certain age with a gray beard, but I'm going to use a really big word. It's going to be a big word coming at you now too. So here's how we solve that problem. We think that sales and marketing alignment is an often overspoken about subject with not a lot of clarity.
Yep.
And really, sales and marketing don't even have to talk. The way you create alignment, interestingly enough, is by aligning sales to the customer and the customer's needs as they change their behavior, and aligning marketing to the customer and to their needs as they change behavior. And the net result of that is sales and marketing end up aligned. So how do you do that? You create a pipeline and a language, so every bit of that language makes sense. Everybody's got a common language. If you're talking German and I'm talking French, it's just going to be hard. So we've got to find a common language. You got to get a marketing person to the table with a salesperson and find a common language. And then you've got to get outside of yourself. And I think that every executive should be hiring somebody to lead marketing that has a point of view around behavioral change. Now, I didn't say sales, I didn't say marketing, I said behavioral change, because sales and marketing really is the act of helping Scott McKenzie move from doing A to B with his products and services decisions. And that's large capital expenditure decisions or small personal ones. So we follow the transthoretical theorem of behavioral change. That's a mouthful.
I started to breathe with that at a bleed, and my ears started bleeding. And I have a hard time spelling words in general.
I was afraid, but Google's amazing. So transthoretical theorem of behavioral change. There were these three scientists who wrote this book called Changing for Good. And what they did is they codified all the types of behavioral science, and they broke it down into everybody takes six steps from being unaware of the need to change behavior to being an advocate for that change of behavior. That sounds like a consumer decision journey. That's probably not super new. Everybody has a pipeline report. But here's the aha moment. They codified nine processes that work through those cycles at specific points. So for example, you can create social liberation from external forces, and that helps somebody early stage, but that doesn't help them later. You could use environmental controls and helping relationships to close a deal, but they don't help create new leads. So if you'll just have a belief system that's built on science, it elevates marketing's ability to contribute because it gets outside of my opinion. Scott, I think this is going to work. I like this. Well, if you're a CEO, you should say, Sean, I really don't care what you like. Right. And my consultants are not allowed to say I like. They've got to say, this is the tool. This is the strategy. This is how we're going to help solve this business problem. And here's why. Here's the three processes that behavioral science point to that say this will work. And we've gotten amazing results by doing that. I mean, our average right now is $284.17 of ROI for every dollar a client spends when they apply this process.
Wow, that's measurable. That's significant. That's significant.
Well, and technology gives me the ability to know that number. So I got to give some attribution there.
Here's when you went down that road of that long word that I can't spell that I'm going to have to Google and I'm probably going to butcher that and then I'll get frustrated. But however, let's say I accomplish it and I find that thing, I'm going to be looking at that changing for good.
Amazon, you're going to find it for $2.
There it is, man. My gosh, that's I'm on it. However, can you, given the fact that I'm already, and I'm talking about today, firestorms everywhere, I'm having some challenges, you know, can I incrementally, first off, I got to save money and I got to survive some way, shape, or form, but you're never going to really build a business on saving money. You're going to have to make revenue.
Yep.
But let's say we save some money, we streamline, we are more efficient at what we're doing, right? We've done that. Now we're,
yep.
But can I incrementally approach my marketing and sales and begin to build it incrementally without having to do a big bang, which I can't comprehend right now?
Yes, absolutely. And here's why the science will matter to you there. You could build a couple different ways. And most people, when they build a marketing department, they think about it from the front of the journey all the way through it. They think about the front end. They start with what the science would call creating awareness, taking somebody who's unaware and moving them to contemplate. They start with tools that create awareness. They don't use all the processes, so they're incomplete in their strategic approach. And there's different ways. There's consciousness-raising tools, there's social liberation, there's external forces, there are different things they can do. But they start there. They start with a capitated effort already. And then maybe they get a lot of website traffic. Well, who cares, right? Website traffic is meaningless unless you get leads. And leads are meaningless unless they're quality leads.
That's right.
Quality leads are meaningless unless they're profitable quality leads. Well, so what about this? What about this? What if you started at the other end of the cycle? I would ask your marketing team, whether it's outside advisors like Fitzmartin or consultants like me, or maybe there's other people too. I'm not the only guy in the world. But get them to start talking about how do we close more late stage deals. Let's not worry about awareness. Let's not worry about getting more people to know about us. Let's worry about where we know there's success and we know the executive team wants support. And those are the guys. The sales team has a list. I've never met a CEO who didn't have, or the SVP of sales, who didn't have a list of 150 clients, 10 clients that would make a big difference. And let's pursue those. Let's pursue those late stage deals.
Right.
And if your marketing team doesn't know how to support or doesn't know how to help sales close late stage deals, then you've got to reevaluate or educate that team. If they do know how to help, then that's the place to start. And then go backwards. Go backwards to how does marketing help the planning folks that are in planning stage? How to then go back another step? How does marketing help people who are contemplating change? Then go back another step and create more awareness.
Right.
So start backwards. If you'll build backwards, you'll have more credibility because you're going to see results faster. And let's think about it the other way. If we create all this awareness but don't close any deals, you just wasted 100% of your resources.
Yeah.
And then you're going to quit on marketing again. You're going to hire another agency or you're going to fire your CMO. The average CMO or rev ops guy is like last 2 to 3 years at this point. I think a lot of it's because they're starting at the wrong end.
Yeah.
They should start with sales support.
So it's interesting because I go down that road too. I'm always, maybe it's because I'm just downright lazy. And maybe it is. I mean, however, I always look for that low hanging fruit. I try to keep it as simple as I possibly can because I'm the butter knife in the drawer and I'm not that sharp. And so I'm always looking for simplicity, low hanging fruit, and an incremental approach to gain victories, to gain
revenue.
And then be able to have that sort of momentum moving forward to be able to start thinking bigger, maybe a little bit more strategic as opposed to tactical and so on and so forth. But the reality today, Sean, is the fact that we've got to move, and we've got to move with a sense of speed and purpose. We just do. I mean, company, we don't know where this is going. So you got to figure this out, and you need revenue. You just need revenue. You're not going to survive too long with trying to slice and dice your business down in costs and everything and just barely survive.
But you know, the good news here, Scott, is that crisis, any kind of crisis, doesn't matter how many recessions I've been through or how many other odd crises. Then what happens in a crisis is you're forced to make decisions. So a good economy masks a lot of sins, and you just didn't want to fire or shut down that department or change. Or, right. But now you got to. You've got a reason to. You actually have to change it. So I think the way you pivot change is, and in fact, Scott, you offered earlier to buy 5 books for your listeners. And
I did.
Anybody, thank you for on their behalf. Anybody who wants to send me an email, Sean@fitzmartin.com, I'm sure it'll be in the podcast links as well.
Yep.
But I will be glad to mail you a book I've written. It was published by Recourses, which is a business thought leadership publishing house out of Nashville. There's a chapter in that book that, actually there's 2 chapters that deal with how do you pivot your marketing organization. And I realize you're talking to, your audience has some large companies. I still think it matters to large companies. It's not just middle markets. It's not small companies. It's just, you have to look at how do you pivot it. And I offer 4 questions and I offer what you're looking for. So you don't have to be trained in marketing to know how to hire a good CMO. Just read chapter 4 and 5 and I'll give you the insights. So there's, you've got to start with people. If your leader doesn't have a philosophy of sales, if your marketing leader doesn't want to talk about sales, if your marketing leader can't talk about how do you close late stage deals, if your marketing leader can't demonstrate an interest in sales, I mean, the first thing they should do is go ride with sales, right? Get out. I mean, if they're coming in talking about marketing, then I think you've got the wrong leader. And large companies are going to mask that. It's going to be very sophisticated. It's going to be hidden in MBAs. And you've got to find people that want sales.
See, that's the other thing. And because I deal with a lot of large companies, and I'll go through the marketing meat grinder in my relationships just because of this platform. And to your point, I think pre-COVID, we could bring our B game. Next normal, you better be bringing your A game, and you better be able to do that with a sense of speed and purpose. And to your point, it's like, I'm making revenue over here. I'm all good. And the things, but now I've got to really, and it is, it's sort of that love, hate, positive, negative type of thing with the.
So here's a good story. 2 things that I know you're a believer in education and you're a big believer in making decisions. So I have a client who made two large decisions. One, they let a couple underperforming salespeople go. But instead of rehiring salespeople, they invested in late-stage marketing technology. Yeah. And we're helping them with hyper-targeted, hyper-focused, very effective tools instead of sales guys. I was meeting with a bank the other day, and the bank, the CMO of the bank said, you know what, I've gone to my branch managers and to the frontline employees, and I've said to them, people are doing more online, making their own decisions, cross-selling themselves than you're doing in the branch. So technology and people can be the driver, not your salespeople. And that's a big aha. That's a scary decision.
So what's interesting, to your point, and I don't have to zoom in on the data, but because of the World Wide Web, I, before I make any decision on purchasing, I've already done like 85% of my research. I'm just looking for 15 to sort of move me forward a little bit.
That's right.
But 85, try to increase that. And it's just, that's the reality. And if you're listening, if you're listening out there, you know, you do the same thing. If you, you tell me you don't go to Amazon to look at pricing on a specific widget.
You're lying.
You're lying to me.
Everybody does. Everybody. I think everybody's just, I think everybody's discovering Amazon charges a premium right now too. I am. But anyway, that's another subject. I think the other challenge is this. I think underdeveloped marketing departments aren't offering sales support enough help because they're not looking at, yeah, this idea of personas has been a big thing in marketing. Let's develop customer personas and blah, 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 blah. Well, I think what's not happening is helping you decided, you did the research, you went 80% down the path and you went on the internet for the other 20% of the information. But what about the other five people in these large CapEx decisions that don't have any interest in it? They don't know why it exists. And they all have different points of view. Can you show me, can you pull out of your back pocket right now the marketing tools that support sales for every decision and influencer, decision maker and influencer? And if you can't, then your marketing department's underperforming. As a result, your sales department's underperforming. So I want to go back to that lever. Crisis causes opportunity. Marketing is a lever that hasn't been pulled properly, probably. Man, you've got performance gains to be found right there. Whether it's reducing your SG&A like we talked about, whether it's increasing the performance of sales by focusing on those late stage opportunities, the ones that make the big difference, whether it's reevaluating and looking at your personnel who are leading and running and working your marketing department, there's a lot of opportunity to do very well. And these and crisis causes those opportunities.
Spot on. There's nothing I can add to that. That's absolutely spot on. And I had a point, and I can't remember it because I'm 32 and I'm old. However, if I was young, I'd probably remember the question. There was a follow-up on that one, but I can't. So,
you know, we were talking about education before, and that may be what it is. And if I was going to add one quick point, education works. But Scott, you and I were talking about it, and the flaw with most education that I see in the industrial space is there's a price tag to it. Help has to be free. That's and you can share more than you'd ever think you could. And what you're going to gain affinity, you're going to demonstrate expertise, and as a result, identify positioning. And as you better articulate your value propositions by teaching and helping and educating, you've got opportunity for margin by and to raise your costs. So that free help, don't be scared of it. Educate, but don't you dare. Don't make me give me your email address or your, I mean, just give it away. Give it away.
Here are the 2 points. You're absolutely spot on. So two things. First off, there is digital numbness out there. You cannot go out to Industrial Talk or in, you can go to industrialtalk.com. There's no digital numbness there. In fact, I do. But if I go out to LinkedIn, and I'll look at my feet, digital numbness. It's canned pictures. It's like this. It's like, and it's, we're great. Right. And that's all fine. I'm sure you're great. I'm sure you're wonderful. I'm zipping on by just because I know you're great. I don't need to listen to it or see.
I don't care if you're great.
It's like, got it. But it's numbness. Two, if you don't feel comfortable, I didn't feel comfortable. Nobody naturally feels comfortable with getting on a video and start yammering on and try to explain why this is important, or I'm going to share with you the success and this and that. You better start feeling comfortable with that. You better start figuring out what that niche is and do it quickly and move on. I remember when I first started podcasting, my initial podcast, I'm not saying that they're spectacular now, but boy, when they first started out, they were just absolutely awful. However, you just keep at it. And you better start doing that now, because that is what the future looks like. And you better start sharing and sharing your knowledge and help.
And I bet your knowledge journey, Scott, has been, and I know at some point somebody has to go to work, right? Whether it's you, me, or the listener, but I bet your journey on knowledge and teaching and education has been similar to mine in that, well, I'll even just share a client example. I mean, we could talk about, I'll use the oil and gas example. We could talk about drives or pumps or efficiency or ROI, and that's all delightful. But you know what worked is when we started talking about electrical harmonics. What? What's that? Exactly. You don't know. I don't know. But the person who does know is the person who's the buyer. And all of a sudden, when we started talking about harmonics and these detailed electrical engineering, I mean, crazy stuff that I don't understand electricity anyway. I'm not that smart. But anyway, that's what worked. And that's what got attention. And that is what was helpful. And I think that is the lesson. I mean, if you start getting sweaty palms because you think, God, this subject, this free help, this education is so narrow, then you're probably getting close to what's going to work.
You're absolutely spot on. Hey, Sean, I'm looking at my clock and I'm saying it's 32 minutes. 32 minutes that we've been yammering on.
Yeah, Merry Christmas.
Yeah, we've got to wrap it up. Sean, okay, so we've got some 5 books coming your way. If you email him, it'll be out on industrialtalk.com. We also have, you've got to be active out there. Your stat card's pretty damn good when it's out on LinkedIn. If they reach out to you,
just fitzmartin.com.
Yeah,
we've got all the Twitters and the
Sean M. Doyle. That's S-E-A-N.
Yeah, you know, if you want to learn a little, I've done a little free help video. It's about this cognitive marketing model, this trans-theoretical theorem. It's a great little video. Well, I think it's great. It's got a really handsome video guy.
It's all marketing there, Sean.
It is.
Think it's great too. It's all marketing.
I'm great.
I'm fantastic. I'm the best. All right, Sean, we're going to have to wrap it up. Okay, listeners, you know the rule. Do not, and I mean do not, shut this down. We're going to wrap it up on the other side. So stay tuned, and thank you very much for joining the Industrial Talk Podcast.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
All right. Thank you very much for joining the Industrial Talk Podcast. The platform is dedicated to you. Once again, the industrial manufacturing pros, the companies that get it done. That's why we're here. And we're going to continue to feature great people just like Sean Doyle, D-O-Y-A-L. Fitzmartin is the company. Reach out to him. He's got a fantastic, fantastic LinkedIn stat card out there. All right. Again, we've got an event that you need to participate in. That event is adapting to coronavirus supply chain disruption. It's going to feature a couple of professionals within their area, Ian Richardson and Susan Fitzy. And I'm going to have to apologize in advance, but both of them know exactly what they're doing. That is September 16th at noon Mountain Time. Do the math. And I'll have all of this out on the Industrial Talk podcast platform on this particular interview and ones going forward. Now, you need to be about collaboration. I've talked. You got to reach out to those people to help you. You got to innovate. Got to educate. You can't stop. Please, we need you. We need you to be successful. We need for you to be resilient. We need for you to take this serious and make it happen. Thank you again for joining the Industrial Talk Podcast. You're bold, you're brave, you dare greatly. Hang out with people like that. And we'll be back with another great interview shortly.